Good morning, everyone. We will be continuing our sermon series in the book of Hebrews. And again, this book is completely applicable to today's situation with the church, with God's people. But as I say every week, and I'll say it every week while we're in this sermon series, we have it much easier to be faithful outcasts. That's the title of the sermon series. It's easier for us to be faithful outcasts in this day and age than when this letter was written roughly 2,000 years ago to the Hebrew people, because they were being cast out of their communities for accepting Jesus Christ, the Messiah. But they were being separated from a group that still held on to what philosophers would call natural law, what we know as God's law. God declares what law is to be followed. And today it's easier for us because the separation in the church, it's not between Jews that acknowledge God, but in the stubbornness of their hearts, and we'll talk about that today, they rejected Jesus as Messiah. And some of them would eventually become believers. But today we're not separating from a group that some is somewhat faithful. The group we're separating from is completely insane and debased and perverse, because the issue, as I've said, you should watch my sermon series, Civil War, the Civil War that started. What's happening in the church? What's going to break apart the church, the United States of America, and all of Europe, or what we know as the Western world, is this debate over the LGBTQ battle flag and the agenda they have. So the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and soon to be pedophilia, the pedophile agenda, is something that we need to reject. And anyone, even if you're not a Christian, that understands natural law and the way a society needs to function, rejects that. So how embarrassing for Christians, supposed Christians, Christian churches, as they fly the rainbow flag, that LGBTQ battle flag, and shame us and bring shame to God's name, because even the Muslim community knows better and they're standing up against it. And even people that are just traditional are standing up against that initiative. So for us to be outcast today by rejecting that agenda, it's much easier for us. It's going to be hard as far as the persecution. That's why I warned everyone, as God meets out his judgment, to meet like-minded people, to connect with people, regardless of denomination. If they love Jesus Christ, they love God, and they love their neighbors themselves, and they want to follow Christ's commands. No one gave more commands than the Lord Jesus Christ when it came to morality. And of course, we're not saved by the law, how closely we follow that morality, but we will be judged by what we teach. And I've explained this before. I do not follow the law perfectly in my life, neither do you, but we do not deny God's law. And this is what Isaiah explained in the Old Testament very clearly to Israel. Do not replace that which is evil with good and that which is good with evil. So we'll always have sin in our lives, but we'll never justify it. We'll never say, thus saith the Lord, two men are meant to be sexually involved with one another, or unmarried people are meant to be sexually involved with one another. So even though these problems will always be with us, we never defend them, and we never blaspheme God's name by saying that perversion is permissible. And the same way in the book of Hebrews, the writer goes back to that stubborn generation that came out of Egypt. Like the old saying goes, you can take the man out of Egypt, but you can't take Egypt out of the man. The people refused to change. And that group, that older group, was left to perish. That's what the wandering was about in the wilderness for the 40 years. The judgment upon that group of Hebrews for constantly challenging God and doubting him, regardless of the signs that were shown and the reasons he gave them for following him and following his way, he let them die. He would not let them enter into the, quote, promised land. into what's known as God's rest in the Bible. So this is something that's very serious. We want to discuss it today. This is the part of Scripture we are up to today. So we're going to pray, and then we're going to get into Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 to 11. And we're taking things, we're taking bite-sized parts of Scripture, things we can eat and digest every week and understand. Because this is a very important book, especially in today's generation. People in general are lawless, and unfortunately, the visible church, the modern church, is even worse. So today is discussing what's not discussed in many churches, and that's being stubborn, what the Bible calls hardness of heart. The Bible also literally uses the word stubborn, and that's the title of today's sermon, Cause of Death, Stubbornness. So when someone dies, you need a cause of death. It's something that a well-regulated society will do. You should have an explanation as to why someone died. That's why a coroner is called in. That's why we even do autopsies where the body is examined if we need to, because just having someone die, and we don't just close the case. We want to know why. Well, you're going to understand today when we're finished, just like I understood when I was done reading this part of Scripture, that a major cause of death in Scripture is stubbornness. So the title of today's sermon, Cause of Death, Stubbornness. So just like people die, unfortunately, because of a heart attack, stroke, or an accident, these people were destroyed. They were killed by God Himself because of stubbornness. And of course, as I always do, we'll be thorough. I'll give you a definition of stubbornness and also obstinate, which is related to it. So let's pray and get into this very important word today. Almighty God, the great and living God, we thank you, Lord, that we could join you today and that we can worship in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that you control my tongue, that I would only say things that glorify you and you alone, that I would say things that are profitable for your people. I pray, Lord, that you continue to keep my heart soft and keep my stubbornness and flesh in check. And I pray, Lord, that this word would be a blessing today to those that hear it. And I humbly ask this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you open your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 3, we're going to read verses 7 through 11 together. Now, just to catch you up, if you remember last week, we read verses 1 through 6, and the whole gist of the first six verses of this chapter is you need to know your high priest. So the real high priest, the real Kohanim, is Jesus Christ. And that's the one who stands between God for us. So the high priest in the Old Testament was teaching us what to expect when the Messiah came. Now that he's come, we need to obey him. And the God of the New Testament is the same as the God of the Old Testament. He doesn't change. And the rules are the same. And needing to obey him and follow him has not changed. So grace came through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see how we are saved. But we are to obey Jesus. If anything, we are to strive to obey him more by the power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not to show off and speak in tongues or try and prophesy. The greatest miracle of the Holy Ghost is to have us have our hearts softened where we love God and want to obey him. That's the greatest miracle, that the Holy Ghost will take a man or a woman or a child trapped in wickedness and change their heart and have them love God and love their neighbor and obey him. So that's the greatest miracle that comes from the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. So today we're going to see one of the main plagues, and this has especially affected people that have called themselves by God's name, whether they call themselves Hebrews or Jews in the Old Testament, or they call themselves Christians today. They say that they're followers of God, but they're really stubborn. Their stubbornness has overtaken them. They will not obey God, regardless of the mercy that God has shown them, regardless of the miracles in history and in their lives. They will not obey him. So let's read this together. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. Let this be a warning to all of us. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Very simple. God loves us. God is patient. But if you continue to be stubborn, and I'll give you a definition very soon so you understand what I mean. If you continue to be stubborn, he will cut you off. And this is why you need to know your Old Testament. Once again, this is not some new saying. This is taken directly from Numbers chapter 14, and we're going to show that today. One of the most depressing parts of Scripture where your heart breaks is where God has to judge his people. He has to judge a generation that was meant to enter into the promised land physically and then spiritually when they died, the eternal promised land. And he had to reject them because they would not follow him. They were nothing but trouble, no matter what he gave them. And this is a perfect analogy for the church in what we call the West, which is Western Europe, America, Australia, all these nations, this small group of people like the Jews, these white peoples of European ethnicity, always a minority in the world, were given the gospel. They were faithful for a while in spreading the gospel. God claimed them like his own, like he did the Hebrews in the Old Testament. And now they could care less about God. And all the privilege and power and good lands, the promised land that he gave these people, God now has to reject them. And that's why we see the four horsemen of the apocalypse riding once again and destroying this group of people. Now, why is it so important for you and I who live in America or Britain or France or Sweden, any of these nations that have a Western European tradition? Because we live there. And this is the world, this incarnation, this modern world we live in with cell phones and satellites and cars and now electric cars and modern medicine, it's being taken down by God because of the pride of these people. So if I lived in Ethiopia, which is not Western Europe, it's an African nation, I would speak about the problems in Ethiopia. But to most of the people I'm speaking to now, those will have to deal with the collapse of civilization and society. That's why we discuss the West. The West right now is waging a war through Ukraine against Russia. And again, Putin is a devil. He's no angel. We're not defending any political leaders in any country. But we're basically waging war. And the way we're trying to justify waging war, whether it's against the Islamic world or whether it's against Russia, is by saying, we are holy, we are righteous, we are liberal because we accept lesbianism, gays, bisexuality, transgenderism, pedophilia. This is who we are. This is what we stand for. And anyone who doesn't accept that is against our law and our order. And that's actually the moral argument they're making for these battles. Now, it's all for their fake climate change and whatnot, but this is what they're basically saying to the world. We have to take down the Muslim world because they're not egalitarian. Look at the way they treat homosexuals. Look at the way they treat women. Same thing with Russia. The values of the people, being an Orthodox Christian country, it needs to be taken down. They're not liberal like the West. They're not like our churches who are fully perverted and on board with this agenda. So that's the message they're sending. So that's why they need to be taken down. And for those of us who live at this time, We're not going to complain. We're going to face this head on, and we're going to have faith that God will give us the cleft in the rock to hide it. So if I lived in China and I was speaking to people in China, that's more of the address I would give. It would be China specific to that country, to that Asian country. But right now, my audience who I need to speak to, we are those of the West, and we are in trouble, our societies anyway. So let's take this lesson to heart. The church has fallen in the West, and all of the church now, whatever your denominational label is, you're in trouble, and you need to stand up for God and his principles. So again, the cause of death, stubbornness. So that's the problem we have. Now, what's the first point we want to make in the sermon? Well, we always go to Scripture. Now, what is the writer saying in verse 7? God expects those who carry his name to obey him. What a crazy concept, right? You'll obey your boss at work to earn your paycheck, not to get fired. You'll obey certain people in your lives, but you won't obey God, and you expect God to be pleased with you. It doesn't work that way. So God expects those who carry his name to obey him. If we reject the will of God in our lives, that stubbornness just might kill us. The writer of Hebrews tells us to hear the voice of God and obey. Now, let me give you a definition of stubbornness. What does it mean to be stubborn? Well, the Merriam-Webster dictionary, and our dictionaries have even fallen because we've rejected God and logic. We're going back into the dictionary and changing definitions of established words. But this one has stayed the same, so we can use it. So stubborn itself is an adjective. I'm using stubbornness as a noun. Remember, a noun is a person, place, or thing. So stubbornness is a thing. So it's like stroke or heart attack. It's not an adjective. It's a thing. It's a condition you can have that can kill you. So what am I talking about? Well, stubbornness, if you look in your dictionary, first definition, unreasonably or perversely unyielding. And that's what God's people were in the book of Numbers, in the Old Testament. They were perverted in their unwielding and unyielding, not wanting to obey God's word, just like we are 2,000 years later in the Christian church. And then we see suggestive or typical of a strong, stubborn nature. Now, we're also given in a definition, performed or carried on in an unyielding, obstinate, or persistent manner. Now, why does obstinate matter? Because when we go to the word obstinate in the dictionary, this is an adjective. But this is the gist of what this verse is explaining. This is the stubbornness of the Bible, our God explained in the Old Testament, and what our Lord and Messiah, Jesus Christ, explains in the New Testament. This is what gets people rejected by God. And what is it? Stubbornly adhering to an opinion, purpose, or course in spite of reason, arguments, or persuasion. God does not expect us to blindly follow him. He gives us reasons. He reasons with us, as we're told in the Old Testament. God says, come, let us reason together. God does not expect us to blindly obey him. God performed miracles at times to put his stamp of authenticity on a situation that we should listen to him. God uses the reason and logic that he gave us from Scripture. All your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Your mind, sophroneo. Your mind is to be renewed. It's to be pure. You are to use reason and logic, the mind that God gave you. So God reasons with us. I obey God because everything that he explains to me in his word that's easily accessible, all his commands, they make sense. They actually give life, and they give life more abundantly. So when you do not commit adultery, it has a great effect visibly also for you and for your spouse, for your family, for society. When you do not murder or steal, these things, because God designed our reality, it helps us to function. And that's why God gave all those rules to the Hebrew people in the Old Testament, because by following the dietary laws and the other laws that were given, it made them a healthy and a strong people. That's why their population ballooned. It exploded. They didn't have the sexually transmitted diseases of the groups around them. They didn't have the broken families. That was the purpose of, even if a man died and did not have children with his wife, his brother would raise up that family just to keep the name going. And it was never about perversion. It was about keeping a robust people and a growing population. This was the purpose for it. So God has reasoned with these people, and they still reject him. He didn't just say, oh, you got to obey me. And they're like innocently saying, well, why do we have to obey? And God doesn't want to answer them. I've warned you about this. My children ask me questions. Why do I take the time to back up what I say, to show them what's in God's word? I never just say, oh, because the Bible says so. You never do that. And why don't I do that? Because God doesn't do it with me. God never told me, just listen to me because I said so. He gives me the witness of the Spirit in me. He gives me the faith that the Son has given me. And he gives me his own word written in Scripture. God reasons with me. He gave me 66 books that I can read to understand his will. God doesn't want brain dead obedience. But once God has explained it to you and he's shown it to you and you still reject him, you are finished. Yes, you're dead. Now, maybe not permanently. You might be saved after all. But as James talks about, being foolish in your life just might get you killed now, even if you're a believer. God is that serious. Paul even talks about this in his letters. He would say with certain people with serious sin in the church, they don't want to repent, throw them out. Even if their bodies are destroyed and they're judged by the authorities and they're killed, their souls yet might be saved. They still might repent. But we can't tolerate unrepentant sinners. So this church today is perverted. They're rejecting God. They're rejecting his word. They are stubborn, regardless of the love and understanding and counsel that God gives them. They reject him. This is the type of group we're talking about. And this is why the visible church you could see in America and in Europe is being rejected. Psalm 95, verse 7. Turn to Psalm 95. And you'll want to keep your finger there. Keep a little marker there. The writer in Hebrews tells us concerning God's people. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if ye will hear his voice. Well, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost speaks to us in all of Scripture. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit are in all of Scripture. When you turn to Psalm 95, lo and behold, as we see in so much of the New Testament, it's a direct quote from the Old. What is this psalm in Psalm 95 telling us? In verse 7, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice. So listening to the shepherd, listening to God, following him is what makes you a believer. Remember, we're people of the way. To be called a Christian was an insult. It was like being called little messiahs or a little Christ, little these Christ followers. It was an insult in the beginning. What we were really known as, we were a people who had a halakhic teaching. And what that means is we had a way, as the Jews still teach today. We're people of the way. So we were known by the way we acted and the things we did, not only in what we said. And that's the way Christians are supposed to be. We're known through our obedience, not through your big mouth, not through wearing your Jesus gospel t-shirts, not through complaining about how the culture isn't Christian enough for you, but by the way you act, the way you behave, the witness your children are when they're out in public, the witness your wife is, the witness you are as a husband. We're people of the way. People know we're different because we follow a way. We're not left wing. We're not right wing. We're not Republican. We're not Democrat. We're not libertarian. Whatever matches God's word, whatever group might have that, will support that issue. That's why Christians are individual issue people. Because we don't care what you label yourself, you have to match God's law, Christ's law, and Christ's commands. And we were the ones that were clear thinkers. We weren't easily fooled. We didn't fall into Americanity or Christianity Incorporated. We didn't follow slogans. We followed the word. We were concise and sharp in our thinking, the way both Peter and Paul commanded us to be. Our minds were sober. We were able to see something and make an evaluation, have discernment. But if you don't follow God's voice, you're done. You're finished. And that's what we're doing. This is what the writer of Hebrews is talking about. So it's not enough to just hear God's voice. You have to hear it and follow him. So that's the first point in today's sermon. Stubbornness. You don't want to follow God's voice. Now, point number two. It is obvious, especially in today's visible church. Now, remember, that is a faithful teaching. The visible church is filled with people that want to be called by God's name, but they're not all Christian. They're not all saved. There's an invisible church that we can't see. It's none of our business. We treat everyone in church as if they are saved, as if they're believers, and we show them love, and we show them love in calling out sins, especially to protect them. But we see a visible church. Now, the visible church is dying, but it doesn't mean even in the worst church there aren't true believers. So in today's visible church, many dismiss God's word and commands. It's not what God commands, it's how you feel. It's not what God commands, especially regarding perversion, it's how you feel. It's what your children are doing at the time. So this is why we've simply allowed horrible perversions in the church and to destroy us, because we want to go by how we feel. We don't want to make anyone feel bad. We feel that we're more righteous by God, by allowing perversions. And God has made it clear. You got to pick a side. It's just like with Elijah and the prophets of Baal. The prophets of Baal would be flying the rainbow flag, the LGBTQ flag. That's their whole purpose. That's their whole agenda. And you have to stand up against that. You have to say, no, God is not for any of these perversions. These perversions will bring down judgment upon a group, just like in Sodom and Gomorrah. And because we love these people, we're going to correct them. We don't want lesbians, gays, transgenders, whatever. We don't want them destroyed by God. We don't want them to die. We actually want to point out the truth to them, and we pray that they stay alive long enough to repent and become one of God's chosen. That's what we want. We don't have ill will towards them. It's like someone who has any other type of problem or perversion. We don't wish ill will. We want them to live. We don't wish death upon them. We want them to repent and change their ways. But how can you do that if you're not following God's commands? So it is obvious, especially in today's visible church, many dismiss God's word and commands. They live their lives obeying their own voice and grumbling about the provisions of God. These people swear, this is really serious, there is no hope for them or their children if they follow God. So today we're just like the children of Israel in the wilderness. Why do we follow you? We followed you, God, to our destruction. Look at us. We left Egypt for this. And this is the point I make. Leaving the world system, Egypt. Egypt was symbolic of the world. God calling the children of Israel out of Egypt was calling them out of the world. And remember, they were called out of the world, not to worship themselves, but to worship God and to have life and have it more abundantly. So that Egypt that we glorify and study at this time, when the children of Israel left, the Egyptian royalty were marrying brother and sister. That was a common thing. Many of their other practices were perverted. So it was actually weakening their civilization. So they were leaving God to go to the wilderness to worship him. God said in the Old Testament, let my people go that they may worship me. And in worshiping God, it's a tremendous blessing. And following his commands, you will be a strong couple, individual, family, community, and church. If you don't obey God's commands, you're finished. You're completely finished. So this is what we're faced with. Now, what about that story? In case you're not familiar with, go back to Numbers chapter 14, and I'll back up what I'm saying. So the people regretted that they left, and God was finished with them. He was completely finished. This happens at times. And this older generation that grew up in the West, Western world, America, Europe, Australia, all the lands where the king or queen's name was, and it's now being destroyed. We're being judged. And it's because of our rejection of God. God is tired of us. But many of the children who we swear they won't make it in this crazy world, oh, they will. And God will do something new. And this is what I explained to my own children. You're going to have tremendous opportunities if you stay within God's will. Staying in God's will not condemn you, even if the world is against you. You will have opportunities. Our God is faithful. So don't ever submit and give in and follow this wicked generation. Don't think that you should have stayed in Egypt to survive, because it's not true. So what are we told in the book of Numbers? We're going to read Numbers chapter 14, verses 26 to 35. This is God speaking. This is God's heart. He was extremely upset with these people. He spared very few of them. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord. You don't think he's upset? As ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcass shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, that there's always a remnant, which is what we want to be. Save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which he said should be a prey, them will I bring in. And they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, your dead bodies, God saying, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness after the number of the days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And what is the advice of many parents inside the church, many of the elders? What are they doing in the church? We need to follow these evil policies. We need to accept the transgender agenda. We need to accept the gay agenda, the lesbian agenda. We need to accept the sodomites and their parades and their perversions. Because if we don't, we'll survive. We need to make peace with Egypt. God telling us to resist these things, he's going to get us killed. So we have to reject God himself, the Church of England. May a pox be upon the leadership in the church in England. The Church of England is going to change the pronouns regarding God to make it more inclusive. So soon God will be a woman or an it or a thing, according to the Church of England. They will completely reject Scripture. So this is what's happening. They're basically saying, just like the children of Israel in the wilderness, we should have stayed in Egypt. In Egypt, in the world system, in listening to the world, there is safety. In following God, there is destruction. So God is saying, okay, especially you older people, grandma and grandpa who are now perverts, who find nothing wrong with abortion or pornography, you're dead. That medical system you put faith in, that government you put faith in, they're going to euthanize you. They're going to kill you because they don't want to pay your Social Security or your social benefits, whatever country you reside in, whatever they call it. They're not paying for you. You're old and useless to them. So where God would have given you protection, the God you rejected and the government you worship now, the government, is going to kill you. God is letting you go. He's going to give you over to that world system that you worship. So the same thing is happening to us today, and that's why we study God's word. It's always applicable. Now going back to Psalm 95, what are we told in verses 8 to 11? We're warned, just like the writer of Hebrews today is doing. What are we told in the rest of the psalm? Harden not your heart, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. I just read it to you. This is right from Numbers 14. This is what the writer of the Psalm 95 is referencing to warn the people. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. I want to enter into God's rest. You should want to enter into his rest now by being in his promised land, by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and following the laws of Christ. You want to be in his rest now and most importantly in the world to come. And you can be in God's rest. Your heart can be settled. Follow the commands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't give in to this generation that says commit adultery, you know, live together unmarried, be a sodomite, have your body parts changed, you know, medically mutilated, not even changed, just mutilated, and do all these things, run with the crowd, run with the culture. Don't do that. Don't do that. Stay faithful. Do what the Lord would want you to do. So Psalm 95 lays it out. And then the last point we're going to make today, and this is concerning Hebrews verses 10 and 11, where God says, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do all it, always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. The writer of Hebrews was talking to the Jews in the first century that he didn't want them to make the same mistake their forefathers did in the desert. So those Jews that will reject Jesus Christ as Messiah would lose their inheritance. They would never enter God's rest. The same way they rejected the voice of God in the wilderness, they were rejecting the voice of God in the year one. And we are, many of us in the visible church, are rejecting the voice of God in the year 2023, over 2,000 years later. We're going with the crowd. We're going with this wicked generation. We think we need to enter back into Egypt to survive just like they did. Remember, they were in the wilderness. So he said, wait a minute, before we were called out of Egypt, I mean, Egypt was a first world nation. In those times, there was leeks and garlic and onions and watermelon and you know, all this good stuff. And we had all this food. Now we're in the wilderness following God. We got this manna, and then you know, he gave us some of these this fowl till it was coming out of our noses. So, but we're not living the way we did. We made a mistake. We're going to wind up dying out here. We need to go back. And Christians being intimidated in this evil time are going back to the world. They're embracing the world system. Many will die and go to hell. Some will die and in God's grace and mercy, they will still have their inheritance. They'll barely make it in, as Paul says. But we, as those who are faithful, need to correct them. We have to tell them, you're not safe by going back into the world system. Don't fool yourself. It's not going to be okay. if you do that. Don't do that. So we have to stand up against those who would actually call themselves Christian today. Just like in the first century, true Jews had to stand up to those who would actually call themselves Jews in those times or Hebrews. Jesus spoke about this. Okay, so with this stubborn and perverse attitude, God will not allow them to enter into his rest. Neither in this world or the world to come will they experience God's rest. They are destroyed because of their stubbornness. And remember, they're stubborn in the worst way, in the fullness of the definition, in that they will not accept the persuasive arguments and witnessing of God. So God's not doesn't reject anyone just because he just simply says, believe in me. And they say, well, how do I know to believe in you when he just rejects them? God gives a witness and a testimony, and they refuse to listen. And what a shame when it's people in the church. So cause of death, stubbornness. Jesus spoke about this. This is our New Testament reference for today, Mark chapter 8, verses 11 through 13, speaking to the spiritual leadership. How many of them teach that the Bible's just a metaphor, or Jesus rose from the dead spiritually, but not physically, because they're embarrassed to say it, denying truths of the Bible because it doesn't seem scientific? Meanwhile, denying truths of the Bible is actually anti-science. That's why theology was called the queen of the sciences, because it related to every scientific subject. So Mark chapter 8, verses 11 through 13, what does our Lord and Messiah say? When he's confronted with those who are supposed to be the leaders of his people, the religious leaders of his people, they were rejecting him. They were going back to the Egypt of the time, which was the Greco-Roman culture. What was he saying? And the Pharisees came forth and began to question him. The Pharisees were questioning Jesus, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and saith, why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And he left them, and entering into the ship again, departed to the other side. All the miracles that Jesus performed, and they wanted another one. So they were stubborn. They were stubborn. They were obstinate. They were destroyed for their stubbornness, noun, a condition. Cause of death, stubbornness. We are in the same situation today. Not as bad, because we have so much revelation from the Lord Jesus, we actually have it easier. But we are in the same generation. Anyone that rejects God's voice, what is God's voice? You don't have to wonder where it is. It's in the Word. There are parts of the Word that are difficult, a little hard to understand, but the essential parts of the Word are clear. Thou shalt not commit adultery, right? Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness, all those things we don't like. Even Paul spoke about this. Loving God, loving your neighbor, these things will never go away. Tongues will cease. Prophecy will cease. All the fancy stuff we like to, you know, try and show off with. Some ridiculous stuff, but the essential things, they don't go away. So stand up in this generation, and don't you be stubborn, and don't you die because of stubbornness. Don't let that be your fatal condition, like stroke or heart attack, that you're stubborn. And it's okay to question God. It's okay to be angry with God. It's okay to wrestle with Scripture, but you have to follow His commands. And you will eventually understand through the guiding voice of our Lord, through His Word, why He asks you to do certain things. And your heart will break if you have a heart of flesh for those around you that are going to die because of their stubbornness. With all that God has shown this generation, all the miracles, all the wonders, in the way He sustains us, in the way He blessed such a small group of people like He did the Hebrews, the European peoples, and they're rejecting Him now. and their churches are being destroyed, and soon their nations will continue to be physically destroyed. Their young are being aborted. Their old are being euthanized. God is giving them over to their wicked minds and desires. But don't you be like that. So that's Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, verses 7 to 11. Lord willing and by his grace, we'll continue next week. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the guidance you give us. Lord, guard our hearts for us. Sustain us, Lord, that we might never be destroyed due to stubbornness. May we never be like your people in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, or like some of those who want to be called by your name, so many that call themselves Christians. In this generation, in the year 2023, they call themselves Christians but want nothing of you, and they want to return back to the world system, back to Egypt, to be safe, because they doubt the wilderness settings we have, as many of us are isolated in this wicked generation. Lord, give us the courage to follow you and to hear your voice and to obey your voice. We pray, Lord, you continue to be with us in the name of your Son, our only King, Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you and be well.